Be'ezrat Hashem, we're continuing with our study of the book, Gan HaShalom, Rav Shalom Arush. We're in the Hebrew version, page 32, Hadgasha. So we're in this chapter, chapter 2, which is talking about one of the most fundamental principles that can exist, that do exist in the laws of Shalom Bayit. And that is the sacrosanct law, which should not be breached for any reason whatsoever. And that is that a person is not allowed under any circumstances whatsoever to criticize his wife. But at the beginning of the chapter, we haven't even really got into it. So far, Rav Arush has explained to us that criticizing a wife is destroying her. It destroys her life. On page 32, he writes as follows. Now we need to emphasize something a bit further. At this point in Shalom Bayit, not to criticize, is so very important. The hashlachot shel ha'erot shel ha'bal hen kol kach marchikot lechet ad sheyishnam mikrim habaim lefanai shebahem abal asapeli al machalot shonot sheishto sovelimim. It's so important, this point about not criticizing, Avari says, that he even hears stories from husbands about how their wives begin to suffer terrible illnesses. Klomama mash bayot gufiniot. That's to say, in reality, physical symptoms. That apparently have no connection whatsoever to the criticism which a husband is giving to his wife. Bifrat b'mikrim shabal hu adam adin v'afatzel nefesh. Even in a situation where a husband is actually a sensitive guy, he's a really nice guy, the husband, right? He's a sensitive soul. He means well. And actually, it turns out, Rav Arush says, that all the problems that his wife is suffering, physically real, physical and mental problems, mamash, they stem from the fact that he doesn't realize he's not meant to be criticizing his wife. And we're not talking about people here who are nasty husbands. We're talking about people who are trying to be good husbands. They mean well, they're sensitive, and they stumble in this area, can cause mamash physical and spiritual, emotional damage to his wife. This can bring a wife to depression, to despair, to physical symptoms, that she loses all her happiness, etc. All of this is from the criticism of her husband. Lachen, therefore, for so long as a husband continues to criticize his wife, there is no point whatsoever in trying to look for any other causes of a lack of Shalom Bayit while her husband is doing this. This is so fundamental that forget everything else, is really not important. If a husband continues to criticize his wife in any shape or form, then you can forget about the rest of the rules of Shalom Bayit. They're irrelevant. They're icing on the cake. They're small compared to this main thing. There's no point worrying if the icing sugar has got a badatz heksher on it if you're making your cake with pork gelatin. Right? Forget about your nice heksher, rabanut, badatz, whatever. If you're completely stuffing it up because you're missing out something fundamental, you've got a pig in that cake, right? It's made with pork gelatin. Forget about the heksher, right?
That's what Arash is saying. As long as the person is criticizing their wife, there's no point looking at whether or not I need to buy her flowers more, whether or not I need to compliment her on the dress she's wearing today. It's nice, but it's not the fundamental. Ela koden kol alav l'taken yisod zeh. But first of all, he's got to fix this fundamental thing. La'asot teshuvah. How does he do that? He needs to la'asot teshuvah. Al kol ha'arot she'ila. Person, the husband needs to do teshuvah on all of the criticisms which he's criticized his wife for. Afilu ha'matsudakot b'yoteh. Even the things he was most justified for. B'chol shechen e'la she'enom matsudakot. And all the more so, kal b'chomeh. All the more so, those things were not justified. And to pray to Hashem, that Hashem helps him never ever to criticize his wife anymore. Right? We come from a place where we didn't have this book, where my first 15 years of marriage, I wasn't aware of this, of the teaching of Rav Arish not to criticize my wife. Baruch Hashem, I learned the basics. A person who's got a sensitive soul knows that it's dumb, it's not the right thing, it's not nice to criticize outright, to tell my wife. And even a person who's not sensitive knows that even for his own sake, as soon as he criticizes, he's going to get it back tenfold. It's not a good idea, even just from a selfish point of view. Anyone who's got common sense will see the results of what happens when he does criticize. So, Baruch Hashem, he's going to stay away from it mostly. But he's not going to realize the subtleties. We're going to see the subtleties involved in criticism, even when I'm trying to be helpful. So what do I need to do? So now I'm learning that even this is not appropriate. Even correcting my wife for her own good, to help her understand the laws of Torah better. You offer good reasons, very good reasons. Even that is not allowed, and it's very destructive and it's very damaging. We're going to learn about it further. So I now know that, and I didn't know that, and I've been doing that for the last 10-15 years. Fast for shalom. More, maybe. What do I do? Ari says, don't forget. I need to do teshuvah. I need to do teshuvah for all the stuff I messed up in the past. Rav Nachman tells us, if we think we can... We think we can mess up, we should also know that we can fix it. Tov, if I think I messed up, I probably did mess up, at least in my own mind that I did. I need to fix it now. That's called teshuva. Don't forget, we should not forget that when we're learning these new ideas about what to do in the future, that there are also past, and the past needs to be dealt with. And the past means that I need to do teshuva on those things I did wrong. I used to correct my wife every time. Almost, she would say Lashon Hara, right? She'd start speaking about someone and telling me, you know what happened, this one, I heard today that something's going, you shouldn't be telling me that, it's Lashon Hara. She'd get all upset with me. The Afi Koresh is going to get all upset with me, right? It's black and white from the book why she's going to get upset with me. And if I didn't already know it, I'm going to learn it now, black and white, why she got upset with me. I'm just telling her what? She knows the law as well as mine. She wants to be a good Jew. I'm helping her. I'm telling her it's Lashon Hara. Do you remember? Yeah, but it's not for me to tell. So she got upset with me. The fact that I caused my wife to be upset, I need to do teshuvah on that. I need to do teshuvah. I have a duty to make my wife happy. And it's an aveira, we said yesterday, it's an aveira on that devarim, to make anyone unhappy with my words. To make anyone sad with my words is an aveira. And I need to do teshuva on those aveiras. I cause someone to be unhappy with something I said to them. I need to do teshuva. That all the more so I need to do for my wife. Because of the obligations to keep her happy. I don't have an obligation to keep my chavruta happy. But if I upset him and I said something that was caused him to be upset, I should apologize, I should do teshuva. With my wife, I don't need to do teshuva. What? Really, I don't need to do teshuva with my wife. Come on, I need to do teshuva with my wife. What did I put her through? It's terrible. terrible to make her upset. Truth is, I don't see half the upset I cause my wife. Right? My wife doesn't show me. When she wants to show me, she'll show me. Right? She'll tell me how much I'm upsetting her. But I don't know the half of it. Right? We don't know. As guys, we don't know nothing. But talk to your wives. Right? Talk to your wives what they talk to their friends who are wives about. And you'll see how miserable their wives are. Especially those that are far from the truths of Shalom Bayit. That they're suffering at the hands of their husbands like nothing. My wife told me yesterday that just last week, in 1 week, three different women have told her that they considered divorce. Three different women in 1 week have told my wife that they have considered divorce. That's how bad it is. And they're good holy kosher Jews. Right? We're not talking about secular people that know nothing about being a good holy kosher, being a mensch, being keeping Torah, trying their best. These are people who are lechora trying their best, but are missing the boat completely. Because they haven't read this book. Even though I probably gave it to them. She didn't tell me who they were, but if it's any of our friends, I'm pretty sure I tried to give them the book at some point. Right? And they're causing their wives untold distress, and they're oblivious. Maybe they're oblivious. Maybe they don't want to hear. Maybe they can't hear. Maybe the wife's too scared to say it. Do you know what you're putting me through? Right? When the husband goes to work, the wife sits down and cries in the chair. What am I going to do? My life is terrible. She's entirely reliant on her husband. She's entirely reliant on us. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe that everyone's got their own life and we're all equal and all that shtuyot nonsense that the modern world tells us, that it's not true. The wife's neshama is rooted in me. It's rooted in her husband. If I'm making her life misery, she wants to die. Whether or not I see it or not, it's my responsibility. If I cause my wife pain, and I have, for sure I have, from the day I said hello, nice to meet you, I've caused her pain. Right? I need to do tshuva on that. Mamash, I need to do tshuva. Don't forget, I need to do tshuva. Right? I'm talking to myself after this lesson, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to do tshuva. I'm realizing now that there's tshuva I need to do. Tshuva I need to do, for sure. I meant well, but even though I meant well, I caused my wife suffering. She gets upset. And I can say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. Chas v'shalom. The last thing on my mind is to cause my wife upset. But I did. Right? The last thing that I intended was to knock you over. But I still need to apologize and sort it out. I still need to repair it. It's got nothing to do with whether I intended. Baruch Hashem, it helps that I didn't intend. It's helpful. Chas v'shalom that I should intend to cause anyone harm. Right? That's even worse. But even when I didn't intend it, I still got to make up. I still got to make reparations. I still got to do teshuva for that.
And she will constantly remind you of your pitfalls. If you made a mistake 3 years ago.
Why is she going to remind us? She's reminding us because Hashem is reminding us. And Hashem is reminding us because I haven't done teshuva on it yet. And Hashem needs to remind me to, hello, it's still alive. It's still a real issue. In Shemayim, it's still a live issue. That's why your wife can't forget it either. Because your wife is just telling you what Shemayim wants you to know. You need to fix this. You still haven't done the shuvah on it. It still hasn't gone away.
So
Baruch Hashem.
Huh? In some places, like it's 30 years back, the wife, I know my mom, my dad, sometimes she said, I remember when you did this to me, this...
Nahon, because he hasn't done the shuvah on it. And if he does the shuvah on it properly, she'll never mention it again.
Oh,
it won't occur in her mind. Hashem won't put it into her mind to bring up that time when he was, whatever.
Fell short.
Right?
I mean, like when my daughter was in recovery, right, at surgery, and I was going by the American standard, was then let them do their own thing, and when they need you, they'll call you. Instead, the Israeli method is the mother's at the bedside, right, after surgery.
Okay.
And then when one of the kittens got loose and got slammed by the door, she got all upset, and we were desperately looking for a kitten. And I was, you know, she was reminding me what happened to her daughter. Fortunately,
yeah.
I found the kitten, and I handed it to my wife and said, you need Barak Kinnan.
Right. So we need to do tshuva on when we mess up. And we're going to mess up. Even after we've read this book, we're going to mess up because we're not perfect. Right? And we shouldn't think we're perfect. If we hold ourselves out of perfect, we're in problems. Our starting point is to know that we're not perfect in any area of our midot. And all the more so in this, because this is where the biggest yitzhahara is.
Perfect clods.
Yes. We're terrible. And we fail, and that's okay. And Hashem wants us to admit it. Because then we can fix it. If we don't admit it, we can't fix anything. I need to admit, I've been a lousy husband. Right? It's like one of those, because I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to fix myself. Right? There is wisdom in the goyim, the Gemara says. Right? There is wisdom in standing up and saying, and I'm alcoholic. Because if I don't admit it, I'm never going to change it. I have to admit it first. I have been mean to my wife. I have to admit it. I have to say it. I have been mean to my wife, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Right? We should all stand up and say, right? Just, right? It would be healthy. And if not apologizing to her, which is also good, and at least to Hashem, for messing up. Right, when a person does something by mistake, he needs to bring a korban, an offering, an asham, a chatat. He needs to bring an offering, a guilt offering. He made a mistake, even though he did it b'shogeg, unintentionally. We recognize unintentional acts in Judaism, and we have to fix those too. Continues and says, "Uburovu bam shel mikrem." In most cases, tekef shah bal yafsik et ha'arot. As soon as the husband stops criticizing, yachu shipur atzum b'chol otan habayot. Then all the problems that he was talking about in the wives, most of them disappear. A wife is suffering from terrible physical bodily symptoms. She's got terrible asthma, chaspas shalom, terrible eczema. She's stressed, she's not eating, she's eating too much, not eating enough, she's eating too, whatever it is, physically. Aroi says, stop the criticism and you'll see an amazing change around. An amazing change around. Because it might not seem the reason why your wife is stuffing her face with chocolate cake and feeling sick, or not eating for days and feeling really weak, right? For you, what's it got to do with the fact that you keep telling her off about a lashon hara? What's the connection? Doesn't matter. It is a connection. I'm criticizing my wife. She's suffering.
Is there a point?
Yeah.
Where?
The
point. Wife feels trapped. Doesn't like the husband. She's making his life terrible. So offering her gifts, considering the divorce, is there a point where this is actually doing a good thing and causing? And it's like, look.
What's doing a good thing?
The trouble is the person just doesn't happen. If I offer them a gift, then this is gonna be shalom in the whole world. It's all good enough.
Are you saying?
But always, I'm just saying, the person is shalom. I don't want to suggest anything that isn't right.
Yeah.
This is what I'm asking.
Let me clarify a question. So your question is, that sometimes is it better to go to for divorce rather than try and fix the problem?
That's what I'm saying.
No. Divorce is an option. No one's denying it's not an option. It exists as an option in Judaism. A person doesn't have to stay married to a monster, right? Divorce was created really for the woman, right? The woman doesn't have to stay married to a monster. Chas v'shalom. However, person should know that if he divorces, and Rav Aris has a whole chapter in this book just on divorce, that if he divorces, he's missing his whole tikkun. He was put together with a wife to fix his midot. And if he chooses not to fix his midot, and instead to get out of the problem by divorcing, I don't have to work on myself. Instead, I'll divorce. It's easier, it's quicker, it's cheaper. I don't have to buy her everything, right? You have to keep her happy. Then he's missing his tikkun completely. The reason why he's having all those problems is only because of my bad midot. The reason why I'm struggling with my wife and it's terrible is only because of my bad midot. Right? There's a very nice story in here, which I'll tell you now, because why not? We'll get to it too. But a very nice story in here about a husband who has a terrible, terrible wife. And he hates his wife, and she's giving him such a hard time. Such a hard time. And he goes to the rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, what am I going to do with this woman? She's giving me such a hard time. I don't even want to divorce her. Right? Because then I'm going to have to give her a ketubah, and I haven't got the money to pay out the ketubah. And what can I do? Is there any way that I can just get rid of her?" So the rabbi says to him, "You know what? Actually, there is. There's actually a way that you can make your wife disappear from this world, move to Olam Haba, and you won't have to worry about it anymore." And the man's like, "Yeah, tell me. She's a witch. I just want to get rid of her. What do I do?" So the rabbi says, "There's a law which says that if a person makes a neder, a vow, and he doesn't fulfill it, then it causes death to his wife. It can cause his wife to die prematurely if a person makes a vow and doesn't fulfill it. So my advice to you, my friend, is to make a vow and not fulfill it. And then that should take care of your wife very, very nicely. Let me," and the man thinks, "Okay, great idea, sounds good. Let me suggest," said the man, "you take on a vow that you're really not going to fulfill. Let's say, for example, just as an example, take on a vow to build a new mikveh for the city. But like a mikveh like we've never seen, not just a standard mikveh, a mikveh with separate showers and separate bathrooms and beautiful tiled ceiling, and it's going to have the most wonderful facility. It's going to cost a fortune. Make a neder to do that, and then don't fulfill it. And then your wish will come true." So he says to the rabbi, "You're the smartest man I've ever met. Baruch Hashem, that Hashem blessed me with a rabbi like you. I take on your words exactly." And he agrees that neder. Rabbi says to him, "Kol hakavod, yashar koach. May your desires be fulfilled. But you know, just one thing. Just one thing before you leave. Seeing that your wife hasn't got long, like, trust me, these things usually happen 30 days. 30 days maximum is all she's got left. Right? She hasn't got long left now in this world. Let me just ask you one thing. It would be really a menchadik thing to do. It'd be a really good thing to do if you just be kind to her for the last 30 days of her life. Just do nice things for her. You know, just be smile at her and say a few nice things to her. Just, you know, because it's our last days on earth, we may as well make it pleasant for her. No point fighting." So he says, "You know what, Rabbi? Why not? You know, I can't stand her. She's a complete witch. But for you, I think it's a good idea. Let's do that too." The offer. Man goes home and does as he discussed with the rabbi. 25 days later, man comes running back to the rabbi. He knocks on his door. Rabbi, you've got to help me. Rabbi, you've got to help me. Rabbi's like, "Yes. How can I help you?" He goes, We've got to undo what I said. What did I say? I don't want her to die. It's like, "What do you mean you don't want to die? I thought she was the most terrible witch in the world, that was just the most evil thing, that just criticized you and was hurting you. And what happened?" He said, I don't know what's happened. She's a completely different person. She's wonderful. She's amazing. She's fantastic. I don't want her to die. She's like..." So the rabbi said, "Well, truth is, you've got to fulfill your neder then. Because you made the neder, and if you don't fulfill it, that's what happens." So he said, "Right, fine. Get the contractors, get the people, do it. Just build it. I don't want her to die." Right? Why? All he changed, he started to be nice to his wife. She was a complete witch. The only reason, as we'll see from the book, the only reason was that she was a complete witch was the way he was treating her. She is his mirror. We're going to come on to that in a minute. Right? It's all, everything was a reflection of the way he treated her. Right? And the same too with his criticism, with a person's criticism. When a person stops criticizing his wife, you're going to see immense changes. Immense changes in his wife. When a husband starts to work on this point, not to criticize his wife at all. He's already got in his hands most of Shalom Bayit. This is most of Shalom Bayit sitting in the palm of your hand. Just this one answer. You can see how important it is. I can't write down the etzem hamatziut. Right now we just explained the basic reality. The basic reality that a wife cannot stand to be criticized. And therefore it's quite clear that whilst, so long as he continues to criticize, he's not going to have shalom bayit. And now we've got that fundamental idea in place. Rav Shalom says, I'm going to explain to you why it's the case. Why is it the case that a person cannot, is not allowed, is forbidden to criticize his wife? I told you that that's the truth, and you're going to see it. But why is that the case? Let's look at why it is the case. Ha'isha hi mar'ah. The woman is a mirror. Reshit, first of all, Nishal Shela, let's ask a question. Me'achaf v'chol devar ba'olam hu b'hashkach pratit. Since everything in the world is hashkacha pratit, everything in the world is a message from Hashem. Everything is being directed by Hashem. Ba'kol mechuvan b'shvil tikun ha'adam ba'olam. Everything that happens in the world is happening only for tikun ha'adam ba'olam, to fix the person and to fix the world. Everything that happens in the world is only to fix us and to fix the world. If ken, if so, therefore there must be a good reason and a strong message in the fact that Hashem made it to be the nature of a woman that she cannot stand criticism. It's not Stam. It's not the fact that Tov, he made women with long hair and whatever, two eyes and a nose. Everything he did. No? Okay. They're doing it downstairs now? There must be a reason why Hashem made a woman's nature like this. It's not Stam. It's not Stam anything, right? And the fact that Hashem made women to be so sensitive to criticism, so sensitive that if you criticize them, it destroys their life, it gives them physical symptoms of illness, it makes them really mean and nasty to you and act like a witch and destroy your shalom bayit. All of that happens because you're just trying to help her. Dafka, there's a big reason for that. It's not Stam that happens. Ma'i Siba, what is the reason? Ma' Mesa, what is the message that Hashem is trying to tell me? Ma'dua Tavar Boe B'Yishawi Gishok Kazo. For what reason did Hashem make women so sensitive? Ma'dua Lona Tanla Nefesh Masugela Lekabel Tochachot. Why did he not give her a neshama that can accept a little bit of constructive criticism? He gave me a neshama that accepts criticism. Why not give it to a wife? If you're going to give out, you know, if you're going to make such a thing, that a person can receive criticism, which sounds like a good idea, right? It sounds like a good idea that you can accept criticism. It means that you can learn, you can move forward, you can rectify things. It's a good idea to be able to accept criticism. So why is it Hashem Dafka chose what seems to be the unhelpful route of making a woman not be able to accept criticism? Hatshuva l'sheila zu. The answer to this question. He al pima sheshamati mipi ravi barbi mori. The answer to this question is what I learned, Ravaro says, from my teacher, Harav Eliezer Berland Shita. Rav Eliezer Berland. Haiti Bachor Sa'ir, when I was a young Bachor, a young man, Bakashti Mirabishi Yadrichoti, I asked my rabbi to instruct me for Nase Shalom Bayit in the topic of Shalom Bayit. Rav Natanli Shnei Sodot. And the Rav gave me two fundamental secret principles of Shalom Bayit. Right, we started that in the introduction. We said Rav Berland gave Rav Arish two fundamental secrets that a whole book was based on. And now, Baruch Hashem, Rav Arush is going to reveal to us those two fundamental secrets that form the basis of all Shalom Bayit. And Rav Hashem, we will learn those tomorrow.